They have to get the shot. The vaccinations are so important. This is really going around now. They have to get their shots.
I think we're going to have a vaccine by the end of the year. We're doing very well with the vaccine. And I will tell you something. I just literally left a meeting. We're mobilizing our military and other forces, but we're mobilizing our military on the basis that we do have a vaccine. You know, it's a massive job to give this vaccine. Our military is now being mobilized. So at the end of the year, we're going to be able to give it to a lot of people very, very rapidly.
Today, I want to update you on the next stage of this momentous medical initiative. It's called Operation Warp Speed. Unlike anything our country has seen since the Manhattan Project.
$10 billion. I mean, just speak about the magnitude of that. That is by far the biggest commitment of the foundation, isn't it, Bill? I mean, this is by far the largest.
That's right. We've been spending a lot on vaccines. Even that commitment won't cover all the needs. So we need the governments, both the rich and poor countries, to come along. But millions of lives have been saved with this commitment. Over 8 million additional lives will be saved. So it's one of the most effective ways that health in the poorest countries can be dramatically improved.
Well, polio is close to being eradicated. And if we can keep the funding up and keep doing a good job on it, it'll become the second disease ever eliminated. No kid will ever be paralyzed again.
How much money is needed?
The campaign costs almost $1 billion a year.
I think we're both obsessed, actually, with vaccines, if you want to know the truth. And it's because of what it does, though. It saves children's lives. When you say there are 8 million children who die every single year, many from vaccine-preventable diseases, and we know we can tackle those diseases, many from vaccine-preventable diseases.
First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3.
Some children did survive the botched vaccinations last month and will recover, but 15, all under the age of 5, died from fever, vomiting, and diarrhea.
This is really, this tragic event is as big as that what we have seen.
The inoculations took place in a remote village nearly 300 kilometers east of the capital, Juba. The contaminated vaccine caused sepsis, a blood infection.
Human errors contributed to the unfortunate deaths of the children, and namely, the use of unskilled and untrained personnel.
What is taught in a building with no cold chain facilities for 4 days. This means that the vaccines were not maintained at the recommended temperature.
Frederick Henry Osborne, the cousin of Henry Fairfield Osborne, praised in Aussie's eugenics programs as a vital experiment. Osborne wrote in 1937, "The German sterilization program is apparently an excellent one, although it is generally doubted whether equal or better results might not have been obtained by a voluntary rather than compulsory system. Taken altogether, recent developments in Germany constitute perhaps the most important experiment which has ever been tried." The influence of the Rockefeller family continued in 1945 when John D. Rockefeller Jr. donated the land upon which the United Nations stands in New York City. With the founding of the United Nations, the Rockefeller family heralded a new beginning for eugenics under the guise of population control.
To appreciate, preserve, and strengthen the achievements of the United Nations, to examine new challenges which require creative action. The Rockefeller family embodied the idealism of those years.
Given existing preferences in family size, governments must go beyond voluntary family planning. To achieve zero rate of population growth, governments will have to do more than control, they will have to coerce. To impose more drastic changes on a large scale implies many risks, not least to the regime that undertakes them. The price for this type of population control may well be in the institution of a totalitarian regime. Guy Irving Birch, who wrote for Planned Parenthood founder Margaret Sanger's Birth Control Review publication, also played a key role. Birch's 1947 book, Human Breeding and Survival, combines many of the ideas of both eugenics and population control. Birch states, "It appears what the United Nations need to do is to recommend to all nations adoption of laws which will actually lead to the sterilization of all persons who are inadequate, either biologically or socially, and encourage the voluntary sterilization of normal persons who have had their share of children."
Issue that really grabbed me as urgent were issues related to population, reproductive health.
But did you come to reproductive issues as an intellectual?
When I was growing up, my parents were always involved in various volunteer things. My dad was head of Planned Parenthood, and it was very controversial.
Do you believe in sin? When I say believe, I don't mean in believe in committing sin. Do you believe there is such a thing as sin?
Well, I think the greatest sin in the world is bringing children into the world that have diseased from their parents, that have no chance in the world to be a human being, practically. Delinquents, prisoners, all sorts of things just marked when they're born. That, to me, is the greatest sin that people can commit.
It's never been on a billboard, but this sign is still getting plenty of attention. It quotes Planned Parenthood's founder, Margaret Sanger, saying, "We do not want word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population."
In 1973, the year abortion was legalized nationwide, Dr. Christopher Tietze produced a study on abortion demographics at the request of the Population Council, a New York-based eugenics organization. In this report, Tietze confirmed previous research showing that when abortion is illegal, the abortion rate is much higher for white women than for black women, but that this completely reverses whenever abortion is legalized. At the time he published these findings, Tietze was a consultant to both Planned Parenthood and the National Abortion Federation.
Other researchers within the eugenics and abortion movements were also documenting that easy access to abortion clinics produces higher abortion rates in the surrounding area. And at least one expert discovered that having a nearby clinic is a bigger factor in the black abortion rate than it is in the white abortion rate. At the same time this data is being circulated, Planned Parenthood and the rest of the abortion lobby were in the process of locating the vast majority of their facilities in minority neighborhoods. Then in 1974, a study was released on population control that had been conducted by researchers at three major universities. By analyzing data obtained from Planned Parenthood's own records, they determined that the number one factor in deciding whether a county in the United States provided free or low-cost family planning services was not poverty, but race. The researchers said their findings seem to support the contention of many civil rights activists that such programs are less intended to assist the poor than they are to control the growth of the black population.
Birth control and abortion are turning out to be the great eugenic advances of our time. Frederick Osborne, founding member of the American Eugenics Society, 1973.
The best way to hate is to hate him before he is born. Leander Perez, Louisiana State Judge, 1970.
Parents of the 28 children who suffered paralysis after being treated at Akichelesit Dispensary in Teso North Sub-County are appealing to the national government to intervene and have Busia County government pay them 42 million shillings awarded by the court. The money, they say, will go a long way in providing specialized needs for their children. Here are the details.
This is what we have explained in the statement here, because this was supposed to be anti-tetanus vaccination. But it had turned out not to be an anti-tetanus vaccination. It's shown that this vaccination was actually causing sterility among women. And these tests which have been carried out, the results of which you're going to see here, confirm that fact. So that's why, I think that is the explanation which should come from the government.
At least 15 children in South Sudan are dead after receiving a contaminated measles vaccine. A joint statement from the World Health Organization and UNICEF says the children died of severe sepsis or toxicity after receiving the vaccine. And investigators say human error was to blame. During a four-day immunization campaign in May, the vaccine team reportedly used the same syringe on every child and failed to properly store the vaccine. Both the WHO and UNICEF expressed their deep regret and sadness for the incident. The Associated Press reports health officials are continuing the measles campaign regardless. The campaign aims to help more than 2 million children in South Sudan.
Do any vaccines on the childhood vaccine schedule contain human albumin?
Oh, yes.
And what is human albumin?
Human albumin is part of human serum, part of the blood that is liquid.
That could be problematic, right?
Well, it could be. I mean, if the individual is not healthy.
Or if maybe some of the human blood components bind to some of the aluminum and develop antibodies, self-antibodies, correct?
If they develop antibodies against a serum component, that would not be good.
Do any vaccines on the childhood vaccine schedule contain MRC5 human diploid cells?
Yes. Rubella, varicella, hepatitis A.
What are MRC5 cells?
They are human fibroblast cell strain. They were created by taking fetal tissue and from a particular fetus that was aborted by maternal choice, and the cells, the so-called fibroblast cells, were cultivated.
If you could turn to page 3 for MMR and MMRV, do you see that within the ingredient list that lists WI-38, human diploid lung fibroblasts?
Yes, I do see that.
Isn't it true that human DNA in vaccines is typically purposely fragmented?
Yes, and I would say mostly for theoretical reasons, doesn't want to put DNA into intact DNA into vaccines.
These fetuses were all 3 months or older when aborted, correct?
Yes.
What organs did you harvest from these fetuses?
Well, I didn't personally harvest any. but a whole range of tissues were harvested by co-workers.
Okay. And were these pieces were then cut up into little pieces, right?
Yes.
And they were cultured?
Yes.
Okay. Some of the pieces of the fetuses were pituitary gland that were chopped up into pieces to,
mm-hmm.
Okay, included the lung of the fetuses?
Yes.
Okay, included the skin?
Yes.
Kidney?
Yes.
Spleen?
Yes.
Heart?
Yes.
And tongue?
I don't recall, but yeah, probably yes.
Are you aware that one of the objections to vaccination by the plaintiff in this case is the inclusion of aborted fetal tissue in the development of vaccines and the fact that it's actually part of the ingredients of vaccines?
Yeah, I'm aware of those objections.
Okay. Are you an atheist?
Yes.
When you were a child, what vaccines did you receive?
Diphtheria. In childhood, I think it was probably only diphtheria.
Only diphtheria. Only diphtheria. Only diphtheria. Only diphtheria.
You're going to let the government run healthcare? They screw everything up. So why would you let them be the ones to stick a disease into your arm? You'd never get a swine flu vaccine or any. I don't trust the government, especially with my health.
This is thimerosal, which is labeled very toxic. It has cumulative effects, can cause damage to the kidneys, to the respiratory system, skin, to the nervous system. It specifically warns on here that it can cause reproductive and developmental toxicity, meaning that it can cause things like autism and other neurodevelopmental disorders. This is immensely toxic stuff.
And it's a vaccine.
And this is what's in the vaccine.
It's important to realize we're talking about a whole range of products. Vaccines are a big one because, of course, you're directly injecting it. For example, this is tetanus vaccine. This one expires. It's a little outdated now. In 2007, here's the thimerosal. 1 to 10,000 is a preservative. Perhaps the biggest one in the U.S., at least, that's for exposure to mercury is the influenza vaccine. Influenza vaccine is now recommended for all pregnant women, all infants, all children on a yearly basis.
It needs to be stopped.
This is the influenza vaccine from Adventist Pasteur, their Fluzone. Thimerosal, 25 micrograms of mercury per dose.
But I'd like to point out that a lot of people didn't know, and I'm one of them. I've given 2,000 Rogam shots. I've been in vaccines for 35 years. I didn't know that Rogam had thimerosal in it. So I think a lot of the doctors were unaware. They were unaware that even the word thimerosal meant mercury.
Mercury. Mercury. Dr. Kalakarinos said, I found the whole vaccine business was indeed a gigantic hoax. Most doctors are convinced that they are useful, but if you look at the proper statistics and study the instances of these diseases, you will realize this is not so. You cannot immunize sick children, malnourished children, and expect to get away with it. You'll kill far more children than would have died from natural infection. Dr. Mendelsohn said, there's a growing suspicion that immunization against relatively harmless childhood diseases may be responsible for dramatic increase in autoimmune diseases since mass inoculations were introduced. These are fearful diseases such as cancer, leukemia, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, etc.
According to Dr. Robert S. Mildison, an MD, a professor of pediatrics at the University of Illinois College of Medicine, he spoke out about the dangers of vaccines and pharmaceutical medicines around the 1950s and 1990s. There's tons of quotes from him that are really eye-opening, but there's one that tells it as it is. And I quote, "My suspicion, which is shared by others in my profession, is that the nearly 10,000 SIDS deaths that occur in the U.S. each year are related to one or more of the vaccines that are routinely given to children. The Pertussis vaccine is the most likely villain, but it could also be one or more of the others."
Well, how many people know that
that the European epidemic of polio, there were about 20 or 30 cases in this country. Now, of course, the American doctors will argue that the reason why polio disappeared in this country was because of the vaccine. But then why did it disappear in Europe in the 1940s and the 1950s without mass vaccination? Right. Why doesn't it occur in the third world where only 10% of the people have ever been immunized against polio or anything else?
Mother who is trying to decide myself whether to get my kids vaccinated when the time comes. And I'm reading this, 51% of parents, only 51% are absolutely certain. I'll be honest, I'm in that 50% that isn't absolutely certain. So how do you convince me? How do you convince the other parents out there that we need to do this?
Campbell, I'm going to get it.
Yes.
If that helps at all. But I'll tell you, my wife is not going to immunize our kids because I've got four of them. And when I go home, I'm not Dr. Oz, I'm Mr. Oz.
Should people have their children vaccinated?
Definitely yes.
Definitely yes.
Definitely yes.
Yes.
I'm going to get it.
Yes.
If that helps at all. But I'll tell you, my wife is not going to immunize our kids because I've got four of them. And when I go home, I'm not Dr. Oz. I'm Mr. Oz.
We trusted the scientists back in 1976 with the original swine flu shot. And a lot
and
of people
it was a
got
debacle.
Sick.
Right.
Not only that, some people died. Some people were paralyzed.
From the shot itself.
And
yeah.
People remember the swine flu vaccine as a terrible disaster.
But this is one time. Forget the conspiracy. Listen to our government agencies. These guys are telling the truth. You know, there's no conspiracy here, folks. Just
right.
Get your damn vaccine. Just
right.
Get your damn vaccine.
The different parts of this population control grid fit together like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. The vaccination drive ties into the biometric identity drive, which ties into the cashless society drive. In Gates' vision, everyone will receive the government-mandated vaccinations, and everyone will have their biometric details recorded in nationally administered, globally integrated digital IDs. These digital identities will be tied to all of our actions and transactions, and if and when they are deemed illegal, they will simply be shut off by the government or even the payment providers themselves.
Now, this new digital financial system is going to, of course, be rolled out of the ashes of this global and health economic crisis. It's the perfect plan, and it's been in the works for a long time.
It's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
I think a new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation. We have resolved that from today, we will together manage the process of globalization.
All these new challenges are bringing together about the biggest restructuring we have ever seen, not just of the global economy, but of the global order as a whole.
Dr. Fauci has an extreme conflict of interest and knows Bill Gates a whole lot better than maybe any of us had previously thought. Listen to this clip from Patrick Henry on his channel, Diverging Perspective.
The Leadership Council, this is the Leadership Council of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, is comprised of several people, including Dr. Anthony S. Fauci, director of NIAID, part of the National Institute of Health. He sits on the Leadership Council board of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And folks, that is a conflict of interest. If you're a best friend and bud that you sit on his leadership council of his foundation is Bill Gates.
By the way, friends, in another tweet, I shared this picture of people like Bill Gates Sr., David Rockefeller, Ted Turner, an avowed eugenicist, George Soros, and look, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
As we already have heard from the officials like Bill Gates and Dr. Fauci and all of them who are part of this quote-unquote task force against this unknown enemy, we will not be going back to normal until we have a vaccination. It will be mandatory, and it will be a choice of yours whether you take it or not. I ask all of you, all of my subscribers, all of the viewers who are watching this video, to not take the vaccine, to accept Jesus Christ instead. There is no other way but to accept Jesus Christ, Yahushua. And for everyone who still thinks that COVID-19 and that there's people still dying and all this other nonsense, or that it's a bioweapon, forget about it. There is nobody dying, there is no pandemic, there is no virus, it's a hoax. All of it, this whole operation was planned from a long time ago. This is their New World Order plan, and they have succeeded. You either accept Yahushua, or you reject him. This is the final straw.
So think of it, in this horrible period, this horrible dark period where this monster came and worked its horrible spell over the world. 184 countries as of this morning. 184 countries worked its horrible spell.
I would recommend that everyone goes to my BitChute account just in case this channel does go down, does get banned or deleted. Go to BitChute and look up my channel, Skarak Truther, and subscribe. You can also check out my second channel, Skarak Truther V2. As we can see here, they're already deleting my videos. They're already censoring everything, and I'm not the only one who's dealing with this. Hope you guys enjoyed. Like, share, subscribe. And share this to everyone you know, because this is the truth.